Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Today on the first part of our morning show, we're going to be talking about an upcoming breakfast fundraiser for Chris Cole. The Ithaca Lions Club will be putting that on today, and on the 10th of November. And today in the studios, we have Christina Cole, we have Sheila Troxell, we have Dean Reinhardt representing the Ithaca Lions as well. Well, good morning, everybody. Sheila, tell me about why you got involved in this.
Well, growing up, our dad loved a few things. He loved coaching 4-H ball, he loved baseball, and he loved tractor pulling. And there wasn't a tractor pull that we didn't go to because our dad loved it. And my dad was a Massey man, and Chris's dad, Bob, was a Massey man. And, you know, they were fierce competitors. And when Chris got hurt, that was kind of the first call I made, my sister and I, Trinda, to volunteer to help. And Chris is the kind of person that he's just a wonderful neighbor. And I always think of the story about we were going to put a garden in, and the garden, there'd never been a garden there before. So we had rototilled it, and it was too rough. And so I'm like, we need to have this. We need to get a drag and drag it. And so I thought, well, I'll run down to Chris, and Chris will have one. Well, I got down there, and Chris is like, I don't have one, Sheila. And I said, no big deal. I'll just check with another farmer. Well, about 2 hours later, here comes Chris down the driveway, and he's got a drag with him. And I said, well, I thought you didn't have a drag. And he said, I didn't. I went and bought it, but it cost me more to repair it than what I paid for it. You know, I mean, he's just that kind of person. And whenever we've needed someone to plow the driveway because we couldn't get back in time, you know, Chris is like, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. And I think we all know that Chris is the kind of person that literally, everybody makes this joke, he would give you the shirt off his back if he wore one. So that was one of the things why my sister Trinda and I got involved, and her husband Ed. We just, you know, he's a person that this is really hard for him to accept the help because he's always been the one that's been helping others. And now it's our turn to help him back.
You said that your dad and Bob were little rivals when they were doing the pulling then?
Well, and they also were kind of, you know, there weren't a lot of Massey guys, you know, because a lot of them were more John Deere's and Ford's, and the Durst had their Ellis Chalmers, and so they were kind of a unique group, but they were there to win it. I mean, they were very competitive, and after Bob passed away, you know, Chris and his brothers carried on that tradition, and they're the same way. I think they're very competitive within, just between themselves, and then against others.
So the first thing you thought of was, let's see how we can help, and then did you reach out to the Lions?
I called Bill Cologne, and I said, Bill, if you guys are going to do something, or are you going to do something, I guess that was my first question, and he was checking into it, and I said, well, I just want you to know, we will get involved, we will handle the silent auction, we will handle the raffle, we'll do whatever you need. We will be there to help it. And so basically that's how it all started. And then the Lions, you know, volunteered like they always do. They're always so good to have these benefits and raise the money. Because the one thing through the years, Phil, I've been involved in a lot of benefits, whether it's donating to it, it's or help organizing it, run it. I mean, what people don't see sometimes is you might have insurance. And insurance covers a lot, but it doesn't cover the deductibles. It doesn't cover the coinsurance. It doesn't cover the trips to the doctor. If you have to stay overnight, the meals. I think so often when my business partner was alive, his daughter was in a bad accident. And, you know, they came to him and wanted to do a benefit. And he said, you know, I have a good job. We don't need to do that. And but they never really fully recovered from that. There was just so much expense coming at them. And so I think, you know, when people build a new home or they buy a car, they never expect someone to get sick, or they never expect someone to get injured. And that's what this community is all about, to come together when that happens.
Yeah, and you know the insurance business better than anybody. But,
maybe a little bit.
A little bit. But it's in terms of deductibles and things like that, and then just not being able to work.
Yeah, exactly. Not having the income. And Christina will go into more in depth on that. But, you know, when you're going to be off work probably for a minimum of 6 months, I mean, you've got to, you know, the bills to keep coming in. You know, those bills don't stop coming. And so it's just Trinda and I and Ed, we just really can't thank the people enough for stepping up and helping out. And yesterday I got a call from someone that had grown up next to Chris's dad, Bob, and his mom, Karen, and said, "You should always invite us in for meals." And he said, Don Mann, he said, "I want to donate 6 painted saw blades because I want to give back. I want to be there to help." And that's the kind of calls we've just been getting right and left.
So you've had a good response, it sounds like.
Wonderful response. Wonderful response. And probably have over 100 items to that will go to silent auction or the live auction.
And the event is going on. Is it going to be at Ithaca then?
Yes. Yep. Ithaca High School.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have that up and down the hall. You'll have all kinds of stuff.
We're actually trying to see if we can expand it because we're a little nervous if we're going to have enough room to put everything. So, which is a good problem to have.
That's a really good problem to have. Absolutely. Let's bring Christina into our conversation. Good morning, Christina.
Good morning.
So you are here to talk about Chris a little bit. Can you tell us what happened then?
He did a trade with a local farmer, Alan Richard, and like Sheila had said, he helps out everybody, you know, if they need help or anything. So he always did a lot for this local farmer, and they kind of did a trade, and he's like, "Okay, well, you can take down this bin, and you can have it, and, you know, for doing some stuff for me." So he was, they were in the process of moving it, him and his brother Jamie, and Chris had climbed up on top, and at that point, that's when the bin had collapsed. So from the top all the way down to the concrete is where Chris had fell. And he didn't want an ambulance or anything like that, so he actually crawled to the car where Jamie had then taken him to the ER. His, you know, shattered elbow and broken ankle and all that. He still made it there. And from there, it's when it all kind of, that's where the journey started, where we are now.
Has he had to have surgeries?
Yes, he had a 5-hour surgery on his elbow. And they thought that they were going to do surgery on his ankle. But after it's been set and casted and stuff like that, he doesn't need surgery on it, but he's still down. It's all on his right side, so that makes mobility harder because you can't use, you know, you're not using your left arm and then you're able to use your right leg. It's all on one side, so mobility is very, very hard. He usually gets around either in a wheelchair or one of the little knee scooters, but probably the wheelchair.
I'm thinking that Chris hasn't spent too much downtime through the years in terms of, you know, he's a mover and shaker. He's used to getting up and going. How hard is that then?
Oh, it's very hard. He can't do his chores, so he has people, you know, in the community that help him. His brother and then a neighbor come and particularly do the chores and rotate them out. But it's hard for him to see other people do that, especially, you know, with the cattle that he takes so much time and so much care for, and anything on the farm, he can't do anything. There's nothing that he can do, but he still finds a way to wheel out there when they're doing chores or somebody comes by just to at least try to be there in the middle of it to watch them. But yeah, the mobility part really is hard for him. He keeps his spirits, his spirits are pretty good despite all of this, but he does have days, obviously, that are harder and hit him that he can't, you know, he's still down for a while, so.
That's a typical farmer thing, though, not wanting people to come do your chores for you and wanting to be out there and things like that, so.
Exactly.
The old farmer in him is coming through there a little bit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And insurance-wise?
Well, from what I know, he does have insurance now, but going back, he was in the hospital from when he went to Richland Center, and then they transported him to Madison where he had the surgery, and I don't think any of that is going to be covered to go back for when the insurance would go back to. So he did get insurance, and they go back to a certain point, but I think that the point that they would go back to wouldn't cover the Richland Hospital and the Madison State. So going forward, it would cover. But the most expense of it all is not going to cover it. So the bills are high. Yeah. How about and, you know, he still has his farm payment. He still has the expense of taking care of the animals. And his skidster just needed some work the other day. And even though Jamie went down and fixed it, which didn't cost him anything, his parts cost money. You know, just stuff like that. They still have to provide food. And he's having a baby in December. So, you know, she's the only one that can work. So that kind of, you know, puts a burden there. So I think the benefit and everything that the community and everybody has given so far, the money definitely has a place to go.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I can't imagine from where he fell, you know, most people wouldn't be doing as well as he is, I wouldn't
think. Oh, no, no. It was, I think, around 30 feet. So that, you know, I think that could be a lethal fall,
right,
in some, you know, for some people. But I guess that just shows how strong Chris is, and he's not giving up right now, and he didn't give up then, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So the prognosis is pretty good, though. It's just going to take some time, it sounds.
Oh, yeah.
Like.
I think it'll take a lot of time. You know, and with having a shattered elbow and them reconstructing it, what he's going to be able to do with his arm or anything like that, I mean, only time will tell. Doctors can't tell that. He can't tell that, you know. It still causes, it still hurts him, you know, even for simple movement. So I'm sure he'll get back out there and do everything he did, but, you know, how much he can do, mm-hmm. we don't know yet.
Oh, he'll be back there with a lot of pull again one of these days.
Oh, yeah. That he'll never, yeah. We had the tractor ride that they had put together. You know, it's a tractor ride they do every year, but this year they did the tractor ride for Chris. And he went out there and he did it, as much pain as he was in and as cold as it was, he still went out because he felt like, you know, everybody's showing support for him. At least he could show up and do that. So that was, you know, as painful and all of that was for him, he still, and he appreciated it. He appreciates everything. He really does. Everything that everybody does, you know, he's humbled about, you know, he's very humble about it all.
Sounds like it's our turn to kind of give back to Chris, Dean. It seems like he's given a lot to other friends and neighbors over the years, too.
Yes, yeah, Chris has. He's quite the character. Yes, she mentioned that tractor ride. I was working there in Ithaca that day, and everybody was going by in their winter coats and stocking caps. Well, here come Chris with his shorts and no shirt, you know, just typical Chris.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, in terms of the Ithaca Lions, you guys always seem to be willing to step up. Here's another opportunity, isn't it?
Yeah, we were glad to, you know, we hate to see this happen, but we're glad that we're having the opportunity to help out. And we'll be serving our normal pancakes, or ham, you know, the whole regular meal.
You have a lot of volunteers. It takes quite a few to put this on behind the scenes.
Oh, it does. Yeah, we always have the 4-H. I'm probably going to miss somebody, but we have the 4-H kids, the student council. There's different school groups that come and help. They clear the tables for us. They pour the milk. They just do all the running that us old legs can't do anymore. But we're so glad to have all the community support like we do.
You've had some big ones this year, the last couple of years, too.
We have. The last two or three have just been enormous. We've served over 400 people, and we're expecting at least that for Chris.
Do you have a lot of the product donated, the food that you serve then, Dean?
We do, yeah. I don't have the list right here in front of me, but we get some of the businesses, you know, they hear that's Ethic Alliance putting on a breakfast. They give us a discount on prices. We get a lot of stuff donated, and there's people say, well, if you need this, just let me know. And everybody's just jumping right in and help us out on every breakfast that we have.
It's November 10th then, and, you know, there may be some conflicts. You never know. We just hope a lot of people will come out.
Right. We, well, it's the same day as Julie Carnes Reindeer Fest, which supports Smiles for a Child. And if the volleyball team keeps going, you know, the football team keeps going, we're not sure, but I'm sure we'll still have a heck of a crowd there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you will. Yeah. And you'll have the volunteers as well. So the Ithaca Lions are involved, pretty busy. I know you're involved with Smiles for a Child. Is this the final year? Are you guys?
It's the final year for Smiles for a Child, yes. But yeah, after that, we have renamed it to Lions for Kids Christmas. The Hombres have decided that they have, you know, they've done enough. There's not enough Hombres anymore. So the Lions Club has decided to take it over on their own. So this will be the last year for actual Smiles for a Child.
That's coming up as well. I know the breakfast, $10 for adults, $5 for students, preschool free. But a lot of folks will just give a donation, won't they?
Oh, they sure do. Yeah, we have the donation jar up there. And there's times when we've had to empty it because people are so generous in this community. And that's the way it always has been.
If someone just wants to write a check, they could do that too, right?
Sure, yeah. They can write it either to write it to Ithaca Lions Club or write it directly to Chris, either one, and we'll take care of it.
Oh, that'll work well. Sheila, you've had good response. Would you like to talk about some of the people behind the scenes here?
We're looking at doing a 50-50 raffle and a silent and live auction. We're going to have a bake sale. Deb Niemeyer is kind of coordinating that part of it. And then I think we might have a few purses that are filled with some goodies that people won't know. It pays sometimes to know people. I have Mick Cosgrove that has volunteered to be the auctioneer, so he'll be auctioneering that day.
So a live auction as well as the silent.
Yeah, we have some great big items. Crystal Grand donated some tickets and for the Love and Spoonful. And I had to go back and say, like, what do they play and or what do they sing? And, you know, when you start thinking, you know, do you believe in magic and Summer in the City? So we will have those. Terry and Marty Richards gave a certificate towards the Ridge Valley Tours, their Airbnb over there. Kent and Christy Adsett donated a beautiful outside gas fire pit. It's worth about $3,700, so that will be one of the live auction items. We've got the Driftless Outdoors donated a beautiful glider. Tony and Holly Johnson, the movie passes. Geraldine Colstead, her famous cinnamon rolls are there. Tiffany Lemke, she donated will be donating a framed print. Brady Ewing, you know, right away said, you know, how can I help? And so he's going to come up with some signed items. We had the saw blades, and the list just goes on and on. I mean, we've got Simple Elegance, you know, they donated a $275 basket filled with things. We have the escape rooms from Elusive Escape and Bill. We've got Sue Fruit with one of her really nice wood decorations. I mean, there's just so many things. And I know Christina's got a whole different list than what I have. So I think one of the things what we'll do is we'll start with we'll determine which items are going to go to the live auction. And then probably what we'll do is have a sheet there and somebody can bid up to that time, and maybe we'll start that live auction around probably started around 11:15, right in there. And then if someone can't stay, if they leave a bid with us, we'll know where they, you know, where they want to go up to.
That's interesting. So logistically, the live auction will go in the same place?
Place.
Okay.
Yep, in the same place. We're kind of hoping to maybe expand. We've reached out to the school and see if we could have a little more room, but we're waiting to hear back on that.
Well, it's a nice problem to have, as you mentioned, lots of items and lots of people that probably don't even know Chris, but willing to step up and help.
Right? Well, and that's one of the things when I reached out to a few people, they said, you know, I don't know Chris personally, but I know of Chris. And we know he's a hard worker, and they're just like, how can we help? And I can't stress enough to really thank, like Dean said, the local businesses. I mean, being a business owner for many years, I think people sometimes don't realize how many times you get asked in a week. And they're all great projects, but it does add up. But they always come through. They're always willing to give back. And that's why it's just so important to support local, because this is when the local part really comes through. I mean, they're just just great. And I think, too, when it's the Ithaca Lions or the Richland Center Lions or it's the Rotary or whatever, they know that you're there, the Kiwanis, for all the right reasons. And so we're just hoping to just really help, you know, Chris through and his family through this hard time. You know, when they need this help.
Yeah, as I always say, if you buy something online, they're not the ones that are stepping up to donate for auctions like this.
Exactly. Right? And, I reached out to Wild Hills Winery yesterday, and she said, absolutely, we'll give. And, you know, I don't know if they know Chris, but they know that the organizations that are putting this on are, they're heartfelt organizations that are there to give back to the community.
Indeed. Christina, is there anybody that you'd like to thank in terms of sponsors or anybody that's donating?
I have a lot of the local businesses. I've had like Los Amigos and La Fratanga, mm-hmm. is that how you say it? They gave a check, so cash donations, and that's going to, anybody who wants to give cash or check donations, those are going to go right into the pool. Kind of when we're done, those will all go to Chris. I've had just people from all over. I know Guy Nelson took over what used to be Beezer's in Hillsboro, so he donated. I've actually reached out to people, businesses in Reedsburg. So Reedsburg, they don't, you know, that Jay's Pub and Grill, they don't know who Chris is, but they still donate. I think we're all coming across that for people that don't know him, but know that it's still a fundraiser for somebody that's really important. Mm-hmm. And that really means a lot to the community.
And, yeah. and I think that's true is that it's been several different communities. It's not just Richland Center. It's all over. It's Hillsboro has been a big one. Reedsburg has been a big one. Yeah. Towards the Muscatay Way, you know, they're all stepping up.
Yeah.
And we just can't thank them enough.
Right.
So I just again, can't say enough about please support local businesses.
Yeah. Yeah, we have there's an outdoor shop here in Richland Center. They donated a trail cam, Quick Trip, $200 worth of gift cards, stuff like that. So you have businesses, big and small, people that are just on their own, just not part of a, you know, or a company or a shop per se or anything like that. So yeah.
I'd like to say too that I think when people find out, like maybe they normally do, like Mary Murphy reached out to me and she wanted to donate something, and she had talked about a tractor, and she was going to get, and I said, well, you know, it's a Massey tractor, and so she's on a mission now to find a Massey tractor. And Tim Woodman, he reached out and said, you know, I'm going to look in my collector tractors and I will be donating, you know, the tractors in the original boxes. I mean, it's just, they can't be there, but they said, we want to make sure that we give towards it. So it's just like that with all through the community.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think Ron Granger reached out and he's doing 2 pounds of his caramels. Well, somebody who might be from not around the area, well, they know that Ron Granger's caramels are famous. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just little stuff like that that really is not little. It's big. It's a big thing.
Yeah, it all will help, that's for sure.
Right.
Well, I think between Christina, I, and Trinda and Ed, that we've all decided we're going to have to go get a bank loan before we get there so we can all afford what we want to bid on ourselves.
I know. I was thinking that, too, as you mentioned some of the items. I'm like, ooh, that might be
a bit. Let's just hope Jamie's not listening to this.
I better get some ski pop, right, Dean?
Oh.
Yeah,
I'll be bidding on that. And those toy tractors, too.
Get a loan from Henry.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he's got more money than I do, that's for sure. Dean, we just need people to come out and bid that day, don't we?
That's right. Yeah. We need a crowd. I'm sure we will have a crowd. And listening to this list, I've had people, you know, being the bartender there at the pump in Ithaca, there's a lot of people that are talking, well, we're going to put a basket together, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. So I haven't even had a chance to tell these gals about all the stuff that the people in that area are going to do. But it just never ceases to amaze me how this community, you know, when there's something like this, this community just comes forward and just outdoes itself every time.
Indeed. So if somebody is listening, they'd like to contribute to the cause, how can they contact you guys?
So on the poster, we all have our cell phone numbers, but my number is 604-4672, and Trinidad's is 585-2136. Christina, you'll have to give your number.
Oh, mine's 632-5506.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other thing is, what we're looking for is, so we're going to be able to set up probably later Saturday afternoon in the gym. So if somebody has like a baked good item and they want to just bring it and drop it off, we'll be there setting up. So feel free to do that.
Saturday the 9th, you'll be there.
Uh-huh. Yes. Probably mid-afternoon, I would say.
Good deal. We're just waiting on the time, and then we're hoping that we can get in the gym. So there's so much stuff, and I think there's going to be such a turnout that we're just waiting to hear, but hopefully it'll go in the gym.
Mm-hmm. Spread it out a little bit more so people can see it better.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, it won't. There's no way that any of this is even going to fit down that small hallway and probably part of another one. And then the bake sale should be huge. We have,
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stuff. And I think we'll probably do the number system, because what I've found in the past, if they know if you write your name down, then it might be somebody that they don't want to bid against them. But in a number, you know, everything is, you know, free game.
Uh-huh. Or otherwise, they want to run it up on somebody, too, like poor old Phil Nee or something.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with this event. It sounds like you've got a lot of things organized. We just hope people will come out then. Anything else anybody would like to add today?
Just hope to see you there and come out and support Chris, and he'll be there probably. We'll I don't know if he'll have a shirt on. We probably won't make
probably
him.
Probably won't. Yeah, he probably won't. But I anticipate he'll stay for the whole thing. So he'll be there, and people can... You know, even if anybody can't donate, just the words and prayers
sure.
for everything.
Encourage him.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah.
Well, and the other thing is we'll be having shirts on that on the back it says Pulling for Chris.
Oh, yes.
And
we
so
have shirts
Garden,
made.
Garden
yep.
Hill Graphics are donating yep. those. And so, you know, that'll be cool, too. And it'll be Massey Red.
Oh, good. Good deal. Well, good luck with your event, guys. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming
Thank
in.
You.
Thank you.
You bet. The Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser for Chris Coe, the Ithaca Lions Club involved in this as well. It's November 10th, 7 a.m. to 12:30 at the Ithaca High School Commons. Check out all the items. And again, you can find out more from any of these individuals. Thanks for joining us for this portion of the morning show. Welcome back to the morning show on WRCO Radio here as we shift gears a little bit. And we've got some folks in the studio. The Ithaca School District is facing a referendum coming up on November 5th. And we have some residents who've requested a little time here today. In the studio, we have Jenny Lau, we have Pat McGee, we have Ashley Martinick-Kramer joining us here on the WRCO airwaves in the studio. Talking about the upcoming referendum. Well, Jenny, I think I've known you the longest. I'll start with you. So thanks for coming into the studios today.
You're welcome, Phil. It's good to be here.
You come in because this is an important thing to you personally.
It is. I'm here because I want Ithaca to continue. It's important to me that this referendum passes and that we go forward and continue the legacy and everything that Ithaca has to offer.
Your children came through there. Your parents came through there, right?
So actually, all of my siblings, there were seven of us, and we all came through Ithaca and graduated. And then I have three daughters, Jessica, Val, and Josie. And so they all went to Ithaca. Josie just graduated last year. So now I'm an empty nester, but I still feel strongly about what Ithaca has to offer and that we should maintain a strong school.
And your daughters, one is in college, but they've all gone on to do great things after their education there.
Yes, so Jessica went on to Viterbo, and she is now a nurse at UW Hospital in Madison. And so that's a very intense job that she has there. And then Valerie went to UW La Crosse, and she graduated with a marketing degree, and she is also in Madison right now. And so she's working for a small firm that puts in piers on lake shores. And then Josie is now at South Dakota State University, and she's attending that and college rodeoing. So she's in her freshman year.
Indeed. So, sometimes when people's children get out of school, you think, okay, well, I don't have to worry about it anymore. But that's not the case. You want other people coming after you to do well, too, right?
I do. I think one of the biggest assets are the kids. And I think Ithaca, I just want to say, you know, every kid wants to belong. And I think that is one of the main things that Ithaca has to offer, not just the strong academic offerings that it has, but everything that you get from the sports to the clubs to the organizations. When I look back, some of my life skills and life lessons I learned during forensics, the FFA is just very strong in what they could do. And there's just so much dedication all the way down from administration to the teachers, to the staff, even the kitchen help. Everyone cares about the kids at Ithaca. And I can't stress that enough, that they make you feel important and valued. And we need, you know, each kid on all of the teams. And it's just that being able to participate and feel valued and wanted, I think that's what instills confidence in kids.
There are more opportunities, especially for extracurriculars. aren't there?
There are. You are never turned away. I cannot recall a time when a kid was turned away from a sports team or an extracurricular. If you want to be on the yearbook, or if you want to be in FBLA, in band, choir, whatever your interests are, the art club, there are so many opportunities at Ithaca. And if you show that interest, then you can be on that team. And so I have to also mention the Wisconsin Interscholastic Horse Association, which is the horse club.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Board-certified dermatologist Dr. Sarah Enns makes it easier to care for the skin you're in. With over 20 years of experience, Dr. Enns cares for patients of all ages at Gunderson Boscobel's specialty clinic and accepts referrals from non-Gunderson facilities. From acne to eczema, rashes to dermatitis, to skin cancer screenings and diagnosis, Dr. Enns specializes in all things skin without the long wait. To learn more, call the Gunderson Boscobel specialty clinic today.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
It is 6:30, and news time is sponsored by Court and Main Furniture and Mattress, helping you create the home you can't wait to come home to. The forecast calls for a high of 60 today and then falling temperatures later on today. There could be a few scattered showers early this morning. We did pick up an inch and 43 1/100ths in that heavy rain yesterday.
Are you in the Christmas spirit? Bring your littles to Court and Main as we are having our annual Photos with Santa coming up on November 9th from noon to 2. After photos, children can decorate a Christmas cookie provided by Court and Main. Photos will be taken by Heart and Hands Photography. We can't wait to see you on November 9th at Court and Main in downtown Richland Center.
I'm Phil Neen for WRCO News. The most expensive political race in western Wisconsin's history is the battle for the 3rd District Congressional seat held by first-term Republican Derek Van Orden. Nearly $12 million has been spent on the race, which is the most ever for the district and is also the most expensive competition for a congressional seat in Wisconsin this year. Van Orden has raised over $6.6 million so far, while Democratic challenger Rebecca Cook has raked in over $5.3 million as of earlier this month. The election is coming up next Tuesday. Former Green Bay Packer quarterback Brett Favre warmed up the crowd for former President Donald Trump at the Rush Center in Ashwaubenon on Wednesday. Favre said it would be insane to elect Vice President Kamala Harris and said it's time to put in the star quarterback Donald Trump. Favre said, much like the Packer organization, he is a winner. The campaign rally also featured remarks from U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde. Trump's event took place as Vice President Kamala Harris held a get-out-the-vote rally in Madison. Both candidates will be back in Wisconsin on Friday, with events scheduled in Milwaukee. The last poll before Election Day shows Democrat Kamala Harris' lead over Republican Donald Trump has shortened in Wisconsin to just 1 percentage point. In an end-of-September poll, Harris' lead over Trump was up to 4 percentage points. Poll director Charles Franklin says it should not surprise anyone if Trump wins, and it should not surprise anyone if Harris wins. In the U.S. Senate race, Democratic incumbent Tammy Baldwin is in a 2-point race with Republican challenger Eric Hovde, 51-49%. That's down from a 7-point lead Baldwin held over Hovde in an end-of-September poll. Both Harris and Baldwin's leads are within the 4.4% margin of error. A Dane County business that unintentionally served THC-contaminated pizza will not be cited. That's according to a report released Wednesday by Public Health Madison and Dane County. Dozens of people who ordered from famous Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton last week may have eaten food contaminated with oil that contained THC. More than 25 went to the ER, and friends as young as 1 year old also ate the food and got sick. Famous Yeti's voluntarily closed closed for a deep cleaning and reopened last weekend. The oil with THC was also added to a grinder of sandwiches, garlic bread, and cheese bread prior to cooking. The PHMDC said no citations will be issued as there are no regulation requirements for products derived from the hemp plant, and the oil that was inadvertently used is a legal product. A search warrant in Laval led to drug arrests. Tuesday, the Sauk County Drug Task Force executed a search warrant at a residence on Union Street in the village of Laval. The search was conducted in connection with an ongoing investigation into the distribution of marijuana. This same residence had been searched by the Drug Task Force 2 months earlier. In the weeks following the first search, law enforcement continued to receive community tips and concerns regarding drug activity at the residence. As a result, Matthew Neeland, 33, and Samantha Williams, 40, both of Laval, were taken into custody and jailed in the Sauk County Jail on charges of felony bail jumping and possession of THC. The pair have current pending felony charges in Sauk County Circuit Court, including possession with intent to deliver THC, maintaining a drug trafficking place, and money laundering, all stemming from the previous search. The investigation is ongoing, and additional criminal charges are possible. If you have any information regarding this or any other criminal activity, you are encouraged to contact Sauk County Crime Stoppers at 1-888-TIP-SAUK. That's 1-888-847-7285 or your local law enforcement agency. University of Wisconsin health officials are sharing tips with parents on getting their kids ready for the clocks changing this weekend. While adults are more than happy to take the extra hour of sleep when the clocks fall back, young kids may have a harder time adjusting their internal clocks with the routine change. Officials are recommending that parents ease their kids into the time change by pushing back bedtime by 10 to 15 minutes each night for the rest of the week. The gradual change should help their internal clocks adjust a bit better. Trick-or-treat hours around the area for tonight. Viroqua will host Trunk or Treat at the fairgrounds from 3 until 5. Lafarge and the village of Iola will hold trick-or-treat hours from 4 until 6. Reedstown will host a Trunk or Treat at Bliss Park from 4 until 6. Arena, Hillsboro, Lone Rock, Plain, and Spring Green hours will be from 4 until 7. Boscobel and Richland Center will hold trick-or-treat hours from 4:30 until 7:30. The hours in Gaze Mills will be from 4 until 8. Avoca and Muscadet trick-or-treat hours will be from 5 to 7. And Blue River will hold trick-or-treat hours from 5:30 until 7:30. The Toma VA Medical Clinic will host a trunk or treat tomorrow from 1 until 2:30.
Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm running smoothly, they've got it all. And guess what? Engine Creek Farm Store goes beyond the farm. You can also pick up some rugged clothes and boots for those hardworking days. Give them a call at 608-528-4001.
The forecast for today calls for a high of 60, scattered showers ending this morning and then turning windy. Temperatures will fall to the 40s this afternoon. We'll have a southeast wind at 10 miles per hour later this morning, and then this afternoon, west winds at 15 to 30. Tonight's low, 29, clearing in cold conditions. Friday, mostly sunny and seasonal with a high of 50. Friday night, a few clouds and 30. Saturday, 58 with a 50% chance of nighttime showers. It was a heavy rain, so much needed precipitation yesterday and last night. 1 inch and 43 one-hundredths recorded here at the WRCO studios. Presently, we are down 1 from the overnight low previously, with a wind from the southwest west around 1 to 2 miles per hour. It is 57 degrees.
Donald Trump's import sales tax plan would cost the average American family almost $4,000 a year more for everyday necessities, like groceries, school supplies, medications, clothes, gas,
$3,900 more added to your cart every year.
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. It will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas. A Trump tax on food. Instead of a Trump tax hike, we will pass a middle-class tax cut that will benefit more than 100 million Americans. I will help families by letting you keep more of your hard-earned money.
Learn more at thetrumptax.com. Paid for by voters of these 50 states. Votersofthese50states.com. Voters of these 50 states is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
WRCO encourages you to get out and vote. November 5th is Election Day. Stay tuned for live comprehensive coverage Election Night on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com as we keep you informed on the races that matter most, from local decisions to national impact. Election coverage on WRCO will be sponsored by Richland Family Prescription Center, Cardinal Rotar, Schultz Mortgage Team, and Walsh's Ace Hardware. These community businesses are committed to keeping you informed and involved.
Sports Time is sponsored by Simon's Recreation Complex. Dive into greater community and healthier living. And by the Homesteaders Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look at the WIAA postseason for volleyball, which continues tonight. Details on a Badger men's win in an exhibition game last night that was closer than some may have thought going into it. Those stories and more coming up.
That was a very exciting, very intense game from start to finish. I was really grateful that Seneca has been such a great competitor this season. That was our third five-set game with them this season. So they have really pushed us to just play better and be better out there, and they absolutely brought their game Saturday night. So it was a real showdown.
Bulldog volleyball coach Angie Young. Ithaca is playing host to Royal tonight, the sectional semifinal. The other part of the bracket, Gilman, plays Columbus Catholic. The winners will play at Almond Bancroft High School on Saturday night. Also, Belmont and Barneveld meet tonight. The sectional final will be played on Saturday night at Monticello. In Division 4, Hillsboro is playing at Mineral Point in a battle of 2 and 1 seeds. In Division 3, Cuba City is playing at Aquinas. The sectional final of Division 3 will be played Saturday night at Richland Center. And also this evening, Broadhead plays Abundant Life Christian St. Ambrose, and Mount Horeb plays Edgewood in Division 2. Sectional semifinals. Teams are two wins away from going to state. It's also sectional semifinals for soccer tonight. Aquinas plays Columbus Catholic in Division 4 as well, and the winner will play either Cumberland or Northland Pines in the sectional final at Arcadia this weekend. Last night, the Badger men's basketball team picked up a 78-62 victory against UW-River Falls. Newcomer John Tanya led the Badgers with 15 points, while Stephen Krall added 14, and Carter Gilmore hit three threes for 9 points off the bench in the Badger victory. Wisconsin hit just 11 of 32 from three-point range, but coach Greg Gard acknowledged that they'll continue to let them fly during the season. He assessed the game afterwards.
Obviously, we got a long ways to go defensively. That's not new news. I thought we did some good things at times, but you know, as I went to the bench, I thought we got leaky in different areas, and it shows me who's more ready than others.
That's Greg Gard. His team will be into action again later on this week as they begin the real schedule after last night's exhibition win. Bucks coach Doc Rivers says Chris Middleton took the court for Wednesday's practice and did a lot to get ready for a return. The three-time All-NBA performer won't be in the lineup at Memphis tonight. Rivers says he has no timeline for getting Middleton back into the action. The coach says he can feel it, adding his team is not there yet, but is close to being the title contender that it can be.
With a big NFC North showdown against the Detroit Lions looming, all eyes at Packer practices are on quarterback Jordan Love. He did not practice Wednesday, and coaches are cautiously optimistic he will be able to take the field for the most important game of the 24 season so far. Linebacker Quay Walker did practice, offering hope for his return. He missed the Jacksonville game. Jaire Alexander and Evan Williams stayed inside with Love when the rest of the players took the field in the Don Hudson Center. The Wisconsin men's hockey team is facing its first Big Ten Conference road series of the season. Games Friday and Saturday will be played in South Bend, Indiana against Notre Dame. The Badgers will bring a 1-5 record into the series with two losses in two conference games. The Fighting Irish haven't played a conference game yet, but they are 4-2 overall. The Los Angeles Dodgers won their second World Series championship in five seasons, overcoming a five-run deficit with the help of three Yankees defensive miscues and rallying on sacrifice flies by Gavin Lux and Mookie Betts in the eighth inning to beat New York 7-6 in Game 5. Aaron Judge and Jazz Chisholm Jr. hit back-to-back home runs in the first inning. The Dodgers began the comeback. The Yankees blew the five-run lead with epic defensive meltdowns, and the Dodgers rallied to clinch the World Series. That's an update on sports on WRCO on a Thursday morning. I'm Phil Nee.
A Kubota tractor will help you get all those jobs done fast and easy. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. Kubota is known for their high-quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors. They have hydrostatic transmissions, loaders, and three points. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of Kubota tractors for your needs.
Well, tell us a little bit about your story and why you're back in the district.
Yeah, so my husband and I moved back, I guess, 5 years ago now. And when we started our family, we knew we wanted a small community to raise our family in. Having heard, I mean, I'm a graduate of Richland Center, so I won't get, you know, much shade there. But having, you know, known that my cousins had such a strong tie to their school, knowing that there is a strong sense of community, it feels safe. That was something that really kind of drew us back to this area. We have, you know, those Midwest values, you know, being Midwest nice, helping your neighbors, coming together as a community. So when my daughter, you know, we were looking for schooling, we wanted small class sizes. We wanted some people that we could reach out to as our neighbors to say, hey, I'll, you know, pitch in. You need somebody to pick your kid up? I got that. Or, you know what? I know just the teacher for that to help with some tutoring. Just that sense of community that you don't get in a bigger area really is very important, not only to myself, but I think for my child's education and future.
And you have a child, you said, in
yep.
the district?
I have a daughter. She's 5. Aislinn is in kindergarten, and she loves school. As soon as we went to daycare out past Ithaca, and every day we would pass Ithaca, and she'd say, is it time for me to go to school yet? And I'd say, no, not yet. You've got a year. You know, you've got 2 years. So she said, I want to be a bulldog. I love everything about Ithaca. I'm like, you haven't even been in the building. It's okay. So I think that's exactly where she needs to be.
When you were asked to step up and join us here on the morning show, what was your reaction? Or I guess what was your
feeling? I was excited about it. Yeah. Because I do think that we need to continue these strong, you know, foundations for our children. I grew up with, you know, stories from my mother talking about even riding the bus with you, Phil, and having conversations about the time that she had at Ithaca. And, you know, it's one of those things that we need to continue. That's where we're at with that.
And you're just starting your journey as a parent with a student in school.
Starting the journey, yeah. Marty said, can you help? And I said, well, I absolutely can. I'm part of the PTSO. I'm very excited about that because I think our teachers make all the difference. If our young people can be inspired about education at a young age with, you know, small class sizes and being involved, they're going to have the best education because they want to be at school. They want to be with their peers. And that's huge. That's the foundation, really, of life. We need to get them excited about those things. I know most of the kids' parents that are in my kids' class. We have, you know, different chat groups to say, like, oh, what are you doing with this? Or can you help with the trunk or treat that we just hosted the other night? And I love that. That is something that you don't get in bigger communities and something that is so unique to Ithaca.
How did the trunk or treat go, by the way?
It went amazing. We had a fantastic turnout. I think the top three trunks, we had like 90-plus votes between, you know, which trunk would be best. So you only get to vote once. So we had a huge turnout, considering, you know, it's a relatively new event. The PTSO did a fantastic job. We've got some more activities coming up, and we just want to support the students, the staff, and Ithaca in general.
That's the whole goal of PTSO, because at any school, it's very important. You know, the districts just can't do it on their own, can they?
They can't. And you need a strong parent showing, which is something that I think Ithaca really does well. The parents want to be involved, and I think the school does a good job of making parents feel included and part of the education. There's a really good back and forth conversation that happens where, you know, once you get to a little bigger school, you kind of lose out on that feeling of I matter and my kid counts. So the PTSO kind of just brings it all together for me, something that I'm excited about.
Pat McGee is in the studio as well. Pat, you are an outsider. You can't talk about your Ithaca roots or pictures on the wall down the hall, other than you have some children that may be in some of those pictures.
Yeah, we are sometimes referred to as foreigners. But
but you've been here a few years, too.
We've been here since 1999. In the Ithaca district, and we intentionally bought in the district because while I was here initially working at the foundry, everybody told me you want your kids to go to Ithaca. We did our research. We looked at all the schools in the area, and Ithaca, by far, we thought would give a better experience to our kids. And having seen my daughter's in her 30s, all my kids are in their 30s, man, I'm getting old.
How'd that happen?
I fell asleep for a long time. But they're all doing really well. They got a really good basic education at Ithaca that taught them critical thinking, analysis, how to solve problems, which is everyday use. And they've all done very well having come from Ithaca, which is one of the reasons why my wife and I have always supported Ithaca.
You, from the standpoint of not only a business owner, but a former board member, you kind of understand maybe the dollar signs involve more than most people. Can you talk about that?
Yeah. A lot of people get confused when we talk about equalization aid and revenue limits, and they all go hand in hand. Unfortunately, the equalization aid formula is very complicated, and it's based on student enrollment. There's partial students, which is, you know, I'm sorry, but your kid might be half a kid, I guess. But this was put into place by the state back in after Act 10. Prior to Act 10, Tommy Thompson had put together a plan to keep from having so many school strikes and labor strikes. And he required, it was called the QEO, which is a qualified economic offering, where total package increases for staff can be over 3.5%, which held down taxes, held down school cost. But it was quickly found out in the early 2000s that healthcare costs were going up 22 and 23%. And that came out of teacher salaries. So the second year of the contract, they were literally losing salary because of the way the formula was written. Then we came to Act 10 and things changed. And Ithaca, to its credit, because then it became an open market. So math teachers, music teachers, special ed teachers, they could literally go to any school they wanted and double their salaries. Ithaca and the board, of which I was part of, and I'm proud to say I was part of the board, we worked really hard at trying to maintain and retain teachers by giving them a competitive salary, but also, and more importantly, the advantage of working in a school where their voices are heard, administration will listen to them, and they're safe. And you don't get that in a lot of schools. So when you go to a school like Ithaca, we always said that Ithaca the community and Ithaca the school are the same thing. You really can't separate them. And the way to see that is go to any homecoming football game and watch the population of Ithaca boom to 1,500 to 2,000 people for a district that is really small and very spread out. So there's a lot to be said for a small school like Ithaca and what it can offer.
With the way that schools are funded, that's certainly an issue because there are a lot of referendums coming up on Tuesday, the 5th. But I think that's probably part of the issue is that, less people paying the freight and things like that. So those are some things that you have to look at, right?
When you look at the cost of a school district like Ithaca, one, other than Oakwood Fruit Farm, we don't have any business in Ithaca.
Right.
We have very small mom and pop shops and businesses like mine. We don't really have a big tax base. And even though we have a lot of farms, that's a lot of land. It's not a lot of income for taxes. So a school like Ithaca, and this is part of the state funding issue that has always been a big issue. Smaller schools, because it's based on enrollment and the equalization aid and the tax base, don't get the funding that they really require, because you still have a building to operate. You still have buses to run. And whether you're contracting your bus service or you have it in-house, you still have to pay for it. You've got teacher salaries, teacher benefits, all your staff in order to try and educate students. Now, a big school district, if you take a Milwaukee or Madison, they have a huge tax base. So when their taxes go up because they're doing a referendum, and virtually every school in Wisconsin right now, I think there's 435 school districts, most of them are going to referendum right now because they're not getting the state funding. And without that state funding, you still have to pay for everything. So what they're doing is the state is taking state tax money, and instead of giving it to the public schools, they're forcing it onto the residents. And in Ithaca, because it's a small district, it hits hard. There's nothing we can do about that. You either want to have a school and you're willing to pay your taxes, or sometimes schools dissolve, and we don't want that for Ithaca. It's too nice a district. It serves so many people. Jenny was commenting, if your kid goes to Ithaca, they guaranteed, virtually guaranteed, can be in any program they want to be in. And they don't cut on sports. They don't charge for sports, whereas some local school districts do. Extracurriculars are wonderful. You can be involved in so many different clubs at Ithaca. If you're a student and you go to Ithaca and you have a hard time fitting in, that's kind of, it's tough. Kids do that. But you also have staff that'll help you out and look out for you. And big districts, they struggle with that. So I really think we need to support the Ithaca district.
Haven't gotten a referendum since you were on the school board either.
And that was for a building because the elementary was built in the early 60s, and it wasn't built well, but there were a lot of issues with it that needed to be done, and we were either going to spend a lot of money to completely redo that elementary, or we were going to build a new one. And by building a new one, we were able to make sure that we could keep our class sizes down to around 20 or less students in a class. And with the number of aides we have in the classroom, these students are getting a lot of one-on-one instruction. That goes a long way, especially when you're younger. Reading, writing, arithmetic. Teach it to them when they're young. They'll know how to do it when they're older.
Indeed. So you're encouraging people to vote yes, Ashley, coming up on November 5th.
Yeah, absolutely.
Indeed, in terms of reasons why, you've kind of spelled that out pretty well. But
the idea of community is huge. We want our children. I mean, I'm just getting started with kindergarten. A woman that works at my office, her little guy's in 4K, and she said, we have to have this passed. She already voted yes. She's in district. She already voted yes because she knows this is the legacy that we're leaving. We need Ithaca to continue, not because we, have any other reason other than it's a great school. It's got great teachers. It's got wonderful students. The community is huge. The sports are fantastic. Right now, they're in a great spot. Like, we want it to continue. We need Ithaca to stay. I feel like that's the name of the game.
Tax impact is the big question. I know you guys have a big family farm, Jenny, but you feel it's worth it.
We do. We have a farm. We have actually our family farm, and then we have additional land up on Little Willow. And so there is going to be a tax impact for us. But I feel like the kids are worth it. We've touched on everything Ithaca has to offer. But the end result is that we have good
students, good employees then when they get out in the workforce. We have good volunteers. We have students that want to give back. And I think, you know, working concessions and doing all those things that at Ithaca, they learn to volunteer. They learn to work alongside of their parents in those situations. And I think that service back to the community, if that's the one of the reasons Ithaca is so strong, is that alumni believe in this school. We come back, our families believe, the grandpas and grandmas and aunts and uncles are all behind those students in helping them to succeed. It's not just the staff at Ithaca, it's the whole community. And that's what makes us special, is that everyone, you know, whether they're a neighbor or down the road that doesn't have a kid in Ithaca right now, we all care about each other and we all want the students to succeed. So yes, to me, I feel that tax impact is definitely worth putting into the students.
Anything you'd like to add, Pat?
Yes, I like to tell people that that worry about the tax impact, and I try to explain to them, you can pay the tax now to go to a really good cause, which is the Ithaca School District, and get your kids educated, get them a diploma, get them ready for life. Or you can go ahead and let the kids fail, and then somebody's going to be paying for that for a long time. So let's take care of the kids now while they have a chance and they can be successful.
All right. Thanks for coming in today, you guys. We appreciate it.
Pat McGee, Jenny Lau, and Ashley Kramer on this portion of the morning show. Again, Election Day, if you didn't know, is coming up next week on the 5th of November. Also wanted to mention that there are two spectator buses for the Friday upcoming playoff football game at Johnson Creek. There will be a student bus. There will be a community bus. And for community folks, you can call the school at 608-585-2311 to get your name on the dotted line. The buses will leave Friday afternoon at 4:30 for Johnson Creek.
Chevrolet, Chevy, find new roads. And Southwest Tech in Fenimore, this is where you belong.